At Cherry & Vava, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Vavas from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry & Vavas. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry & Vava, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry & Vava for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry & Vava.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Scioli podcast.
The Democrat debate last night, Joe Biden versus Bernie Sanders. I'll give you some audio from that. Is this election going to happen or what? How are you dealing with the coronavirus, Wuhan coronavirus outbreak? Has your life been changed, disrupted? How you feeling? 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Scioli, and Facebook.com/Scioli Show. The one thing we have to be very, very mindful of, I think, is destroying the private sector as we try to combat this virus. Because the reason why we have the best medical system in the world and we have the best drugs in the world is because of the private sector. That's the reason. Not because of government. It's because of the private sector. I was very happy to see the president Friday with the CEOs of Target, Walgreens, CVS. I was very happy yesterday when he mentioned the CEOs of Campbell's Soup and some of the other food supply companies in the country. I was very happy that the president is using the private sector to help us with this. And this is a different mindset than some on the left have. And I'm not saying this because I'm trying to be political and rip the left. I'm trying to say this because the best thing for our country is to recognize government doesn't do things very well. Government's not very good at solving problems, but the private sector is. And the issue of red tape and how we got here and why these it took forever to get these tests done, government is not efficient. The private sector is. So when I heard the president talk about including the private sector, I thought that was great. But I have to be honest with you, I heard Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, yesterday on State of the Union, and what he says, I think is the wrong approach. I think it's a terrifying approach, actually. Cut five.
Are you getting clear information from the White House, from the Trump administration?
No, Brianna, we haven't for so long. On January 24th, I held a press conference at our emergency management office calling for the federal government to support us with localized testing. We didn't get the ability to do localized testing till just about 2 weeks ago. We're playing a huge game of catch up in this country. Let me say it very bluntly. Federal government, at least the last few days, has started to come alive and do something, but we are so far behind. We need massive testing capacity all over the country, particularly in the most affected areas. We need the federal government to take over the supply chain right now. Right now, we have to make sure that the places in this country that need more ventilators, that need surgical masks, that need hand sanitizer, that is a federalized dynamic, where those factories that produce those goods are put on 24/7 shifts and those goods are distributed where they're needed most, as we would in wartime. That is where we are right now. And by the way, Brianna, right behind that is the question of food and basic supplies. If the federal government doesn't realize this is the equivalent of a war already, there is no way that states and localities can make all the adjustments we need to. I agree with Governor DeWine. I'll reach across the aisle. We are all on our own in so many ways, and I think mayors and governors are doing their best to quickly improvise, mobilize our cities, you know, cancel those elective surgeries, all sorts of things we can do. But we cannot control the supply chain. We cannot control the foundation of where our medical supplies and equipment come from. The only hope is that the federal government actually wakes up and realizes we're in a war and takes over the situation and determines how we can actually get through this.
Taking over is not the answer. The answer is to get these private companies whatever they need to be able to get the products out there. You see, the CEO of Target is not hoarding hand sanitizer and gloves. He wants to get this on the shelves. The problem is, we as a country have to wake up to the fact that, unfortunately, we've outsourced so much of our very critical medical supplies. There are hospitals in this country running out of gloves, and they're out of face masks. And soon they're going to be out of hospital-grade disinfectant, because most of this stuff is made in China. And China is not helping us, because China doesn't like us. And we got to wake up to that fact. Federalizing these industries is not the answer. We don't need to take them over. We need to make sure that whatever roadblocks are in place by government goes away, so they're able to get the supply chain, to get the stuff to us. There's a great piece I read today. It says, in a pandemic, everybody's a libertarian. I disagree. I think in a pandemic, there's two kinds of people. Everybody either becomes a socialist and wants price controls and price gouging and limits on goods and wants to have the government rescue them. Or there's people like me who my libertarianism really comes through when I say I don't want price controls. I don't want limits on prices. I want whatever red tape exists out of the way so they can make more of this stuff. And that means, I mean, to de Blasio's point, which I agree with, 24/7 in factories, yes, but realize that's right there is in violation of a lot of various laws on labor. When companies can operate, when factories can be in production, how many shifts workers can do. There's a lot of red tape that needs to immediately go away. So while I don't think the government should start taking over industry, I do think the government should figure out, and I know that they're doing this, for a fact I know this, what do you need? You know, what to the CEO of CVS, not only can you help us, what can we do for you? You know, what can our government do for you to make sure that you've got the critical supplies you need to get to people? What can we do to the grocery stores to help them start delivering groceries versus having everybody go in there and buy stuff? Really, what can the government do to make that happen? What can the government do to, instead of these restaurants, for example, being forced to close? Like Governor Wolf has closed restaurants. And Dawn, how many counties is it? 4 or 5 now? Do you know offhand?
It's at least 5.
It's right? 5, but it's not Philadelphia County.
That's correct, but they're working with Philadelphia, and a lot of Philadelphia restaurants are like Vetri. They're saying, look, we'll deliver. Just get delivery. But Philadelphia, they're working with Philadelphia right now because Philadelphia is not shut down.
Yeah,
for the restaurants.
And
it's
I keep getting people asking this question. Why? So it's Monco, Delco, Bucks.
Bucks, Delaware,
Chester.
Delco, Chester, and Allegheny. Some
but not Philadelphia County.
Correct.
So you can still go and sit down and have dinner in Philadelphia. That strikes me as very political.
It's interesting because as of like over the weekend, they were saying, go out to restaurants, patron the restaurants in Philadelphia,
right.
Philadelphia officials. So it's very interesting, but it's hard to wrap your brain around this. And it is. It's people's jobs. It's people's lives. So it's really a fascinating study.
Like what is coronavirus not spread in Philadelphia?
No, it doesn't.
Apparently not.
It only spreads in Monco and Chester and Bucks and Delco. And
the air pollution probably like sterilizes everything.
No, you know
maybe
what it
that's
is?
That's the philosophy.
There's so much crime in the city now, the virus doesn't even want to be here. The virus is afraid to come in at night and tour the city like a tourist.
Might get shot.
So that's interesting to me that it's not Philadelphia County. And I think that's entirely political. 100% political, right?
Yes.
Jim Kenney called up and said, well, I need the money. Don't you dare shut down my restaurants. I bet you $1 million.
I just think you look at, as you've said, you look at Italy right now. They're just now shutting down.
Right.
Just now after all these deaths, after it went like spread like wildfire. So in Philadelphia, we have to be careful here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I keep getting those questions, and somebody sent me an email that they reached out to State Representative Martina White on that question. She's going to raise that issue in Harrisburg today. How does the governor shut all the counties down around the city, but not the city?
Right.
That makes no sense whatsoever. Here's the thing, though, to think about now. What Bill de Blasio is talking about with the private sector, for example, I read a piece today. I want to thank Glenn for emailing this to me. Now is not the time to forcibly close restaurants. There are interim alternatives. It's from the Conservative Treehouse. And what this writer suggests is our supply chain cannot handle just shutting down restaurants right now because he says, quote, it puts additional pressure on a national food supply chain that is trying to meet overwhelming demand. And so what he suggests here is a couple of different things, because we're not set up. A lot of these restaurants are just not set up yet for delivery. Position all tables 6 feet apart. Provide single-use condiments and utensils. Provide disinfecting wipes at the front door and on tables. Limit the opportunity for virus spread by modifying the consumer engagement.
Or what about takeout, curbside, something like that?
Well, he said that a lot of these restaurants are not set up for it. Mm. And that's a problem. A lot of them, he said even McDonald's, 85% of their business is actually still people coming in and eating inside the stores.
Really?
Really, yeah.
Not the drive-thru. That's
no.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? So then the thought would be, all right, can't go out to dinner. Now you just put more pressure on people to go to the grocery store.
Right.
Right? Because when that happens, there's a lot of people out there who don't cook ever, right? Like our boss, for example, the big boss.
Right.
Now, the guy hasn't cooked in years, well, I don't think. What?
You don't need to bring him in. Yes, I mean,
you know,
no,
why
but
not?
City dwellers, you're right, go out to eat.
Yeah.
And so they don't. And how many grocery stores are in the city?
Right.
Especially after the soda situation, a lot of places went right out to the border, you know, counties. So we don't have enough grocery stores. You know
okay,
what I mean,
so,
for city dwellers.
So now you've said to restaurants, you can't let people come in and serve food. So
right.
It's takeout only. And so a lot of restaurants aren't equipped for that. Now they've got to get supplies for takeout, which they don't have enough mm-hmm. for. And you've also now given a high sign to people, get your butts to the grocery store because you're going to have to start cooking or at least heating up meals, frozen meals, right? TV dinners. So now you've just put another reason for people to go out in public and be surrounded by each other. In other words, if the goal is to stop social spread, which I 100% understand, then does it make more sense to say, in a restaurant, every table 6 feet away from each other, and we're not going to, you know what I mean? Versus they're all shut down. Everybody get your butt to a grocery store. We're going to be standing on top of each other in line, touching the same filthy products, right? Using the same filthy checkout kiosks.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Like, there's always the unintended consequence of something, right?
But I think if I'm listening to the CDC and Dr. Fauci, who I really trust, Dr. Mazzarelli, like I'm looking at these people saying, they're saying shut it down. I think for restaurants, if they went to this price, what do you call it? Priest, I don't know how to say the French word of it, but
Prefee.
Is that it?
Prefee,
so
yeah.
It's a fixed price menu.
Right.
So here are your like five choices. We're going to wrap it up. It's to go or whatever. You can pick it up. They're going to have to do stuff like that. I think in the city, we just don't have enough grocery stores, bottom line. And people don't have the transportation because they're used to walking to their local place, you know, even if it's a fast food place.
By the way, it's Prefee or it's a... Yeah, give me the Pricks fee.
That's my family. The Pricks fee.
It's an American way of saying it, Rich.
Yeah, take that Pricks fee menu with the quail and the whatnot on there. Put that on my plate. I'll have that.
Quail.
And the whatnot.
Yeah,
that's
quail.
What it is.
Can we take the dessert to go for the kids?
Yeah, exactly,
you know,
right.
With the Pricks fee.
Yeah, let me get that Pricks fee to go. I'm just saying that there's always an unintended consequence, and I think the unintended consequence
yes.
of this is going to be more people in the grocery store.
I think you're 100%
coughing
right.
on each other 100%. And touching
right.
each other and, you know, the carts that are filthy. The other thing, too, is I love this. I go to Wegmans, and they got those wipes, which I really appreciate, too, and
yes.
they've got hand sanitizer. But every other person was just grabbing a cart and going.
Yeah.
Not everybody was stopping and using the hand sanitizer, so there's that. And then here's the other thing, too. I was watching people
Uh-oh.
Picking up the meat, putting down the meat, picking this up, putting it down, picking it up, looking at the price, putting it down. I'm going, disgusting.
Yes.
Touch it one time.
Oh, you must have been.
Take one and end it.
But then...
Then I get up there and they go, you only have two frozen vegetables.
Oh, you must have been a peach
oh,
yesterday,
man. This is at 6:15 a.m.
Oh, my
Saturday
God.
Morning. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can't imagine.
That's what my husband did, but I'm like, what? He went before the BJ's Wholesale Club opened, and there was a line through the... I said, why did you stand in line? You know?
I tell you, I got arrested over the weekend.
No.
Yeah, what?
So I was selling toilet paper out of my truck.
Now,
the cop dropped the charges because he's a fan of the show. But
nice.
You know what got me is I was selling the two-ply, the plush two-ply.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there's another guy was selling the one-ply, and I said, yeah. That's that street-made China crap. You don't want that.
This is the blue.
I got the real deal, the Charmin. I got the Charmin. I even let people squeeze it, but one of the guys was an undercover cop, so, you know. I was $2.50 for a family pack. I thought was reasonable.
Absolutely.
Two ply jumbo roll.
I didn't realize you had the good stuff, bro.
I should have known when he asked if I had any jumbo rolls. The guy was a cop. I should have known.
Yeah.
And I said, if you're a cop, you got to tell me.
Yeah. Well,
that's the law,
you never say the price when they say how much.
Yeah.
You know, say how much you got. Yeah, you don't say the dollar amount. They try to get you to say that. You know?
Oh, see, now I gotta figure that out. Ah, damn it, now
so
I know
say,
better.
Oh, I was giving it out for free as a like a service.
Guy came up to me, he goes, you selling? I went, yeah, man, I got, maybe I got, what you need? You want 2-ply? You want family pack? What do you need?
I mean, jeez.
Look, seriously, know. if you sold toilet paper out of the Volvo, people would buy.
I would love to see.
Be amazing.
I would
It'd
love to see Rich with his trench coat on, coming up to people going, hey.
Sunglasses.
Come on, I got 2 for one special. Come here, they say don't squeeze the Charmin. You squeeze my Charmin.
No, I squeeze it.
That's good, right? It's a real steal. It's a real deal, right? Very
solicitation.
Right?
For a squeeze.
Squeeze it. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
As we look at the constitutional issues of everything, I just think it's also important to remember that when we give the government these emergency powers, they really can limit freedom in ways we've never seen before. One of the things I appreciate the Trump administration doing is it's trying to take a helpful approach versus a totalitarian approach. And there is a difference, obviously, a big difference. And in the days and weeks to come, I'm going to be talking to more of that. I'm going to be bringing on constitutional scholars to have these conversations. We've seen the movies. You and I have watched these movies before where there's quarantines and there's roadblocks and there's food shortages and crime goes up and all the other stuff. Could it happen here? Look, of course it could. And the question really becomes, how do we ensure it doesn't? Because I don't think that's the answer. I never think that the answer is limiting freedom. I think when you limit freedom, you get problems like this. The reason why this virus has spread is because in Wuhan, China, they had no freedom. The people were not allowed to tell people about it. I keep calling it the Wuhan virus, not because I'm racist. It's because I want history to record where this virus came from. Because the lesson has to be that when you don't have freedom of the press, when you don't have the freedom of speech, when you don't have the ability for people to be able to talk freely against their government, the government can cover up stuff like this and people can die. And blood is on China's hands here. The answer is not quarantines. The answer is not limiting freedom. The answer is more freedom. More freedom will get us through this. More innovation, more freedom. I really, truly, and I'm not just saying this because I support the president. You know that. I have no problem being critical. I hope to God he does not sign that FISA bill, for example. And if he does, I will be the first one to criticize him for doing so. And I've told the White House this. You know how I call it like I see it. I think what he did Friday night was terrific. Bringing out the CEOs, working with the private sector, working with industry. I think it's the way to go. It has to be the way to go. And we'll figure out a lot of these problems by using our incredible American innovation, because that's really that's our strength. Linda is in Levittown. Linda, good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you today?
Very well. How you holding up?
I got a lot of anxiety, actually. You know, I was just listening to what Patrick said, and you know, I feel... what he means.
Patrick was Patrick was the EMS guy who called up, just so people who don't know.
Yeah. And so my husband has stage 4 lung cancer. I have a 91-year-old mother. I have a sister that has Parkinson's. And I'm pretty much the one that takes care of all of them, you know, as far as shopping and, you know, being the public out in the public for them. And it's really nerve-wracking. I was at the deli counter and I was thinking, this guy who's cutting my lunch meat, you know, like, is he infected? You know, how about this can I picked up? Did somebody pick it up and, you know, is it germy? I mean, like, I don't know if I'm just ultra paranoid, but it's really an anxious world out there and I wish it would just end.
Well, listen, God bless you. I hope everybody's going to be okay in your family. I understand the anxiety you're feeling. I can't imagine it, but I understand it because my wife's pregnant. It's a totally different situation than what you're dealing with. But I understand it, and we'll do our best to get you through it as best we can, certainly.
No, I certainly appreciate listening to the topics that you bring up. And, I think that I have to rationalize that as long as we take precautions and we're very mindful of what we're doing and who we're interacting with, that we could have better positive outcomes.
Oh, without a doubt. 100%. Absolutely. Linda, thanks for the call, my dear. You hang in there, okay?
Yes, thank you. You have a good day.
You too. That's the thing, is that what the American people, the reason why I've always said the greatest country in the world is because we have this amazing ability to endure, to persevere, to get better. And we all do our part. That's the thing. We all do our part. We're very good about doing what we need to do for the betterment of our country, which I think is fantastic. Russell is in Ben Salem. Russell, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. Happy Monday, everyone.
Happy Monday, buddy.
So, just another normal Monday for me on my way to work, just like every day. The paranoia is driving me nuts. There's guns every day. And why is there no panic? And why is there no, why is nobody upset when there's a big flu, major flu outbreak, which kills millions of people every year? It's, you know, I just think there's just way, way too much, just people are just getting way carried away with this. And I think it's really a lot media driven.
Well, I think, first of all, to the point about the flu, we know how to deal with the flu. We understand that virus. This is a new virus, so we don't totally understand it. We don't know where it could go, if there could be another strain. There's a lot of questions. The people that are nervous are like my last caller, who's got a husband with lung cancer. She's very nervous for him. She's very nervous that he'll get sick. I think that's a legitimate fear, don't you?
I get that, too. My father also is dealing with lung cancer, and he's very upset at my sister right now because she won't take him to the grocery store, and he's tired of sitting in his apartment all day.
Yeah, that's got to stink. Man, out of the boredom,
yeah,
right?
He just wants to get out, and he doesn't care. But, you know, that's my father. That's the way he always been.
Right.
But I just think that, you know, you just got to be aware. Constantly got to be aware. Every day you got to be aware whether this virus is here or not. You're always got to take precautions.
Yeah, but I mean, your point about people overreacting. Define overreacting for me. Give me that. What do you mean by that?
Rushing to the grocery store to grab toilet paper off of the shelves to get supplies. I think that's overreacting.
Yeah, but you know what happens, though? This is what happens, right? Everybody goes to the grocery store. I don't want to get sick, so I've got to go and stock up so I don't have to go back to the freaking grocery store.
I get that, too. But what if you're in a grocery store, somebody next to you is coughing up, just normal flu?
I don't want to get the flu either. I mean, that's the other thing. It's not like I want to get the flu. Like, I don't want to be in big crowds. So I think part of the reason why I go to the grocery store to stock up is because whether it's the flu or COVID-19 or coronavirus, I don't want to get either of those things. So I want to get whatever the hell I got to get so I don't have to be back until this is all over. I don't think that's panicking. I think that's just planning properly.
I hear that, too. But I'm not going to, change my way of living. I get up, like I said, I got bills to pay. I got to go to work.
I understand.
And right now, I work in, I do interiors, painting, wallpaper, construct, carpentry. And as long as people are letting me in their house, I'm there. And so far, all my customers, everybody that I deal with, there's no, major concern. I just did a job last week for somebody who ran an office for infectious diseases. They don't have one case there. This is in Northeast Philly. Not one case has been reported. I'm working for a doctor right now. And, there's little concern there. So, I don't get it, Some people just get more concerned than others, I guess.
Well, look, did you vote for the president?
Absolutely.
Do you think he's just fueling the hoax?
No, I don't think he's just fueling the hoax.
Because he's got the entire government working on this 24/7, and everything else has been put on hold. I don't think Donald Trump would do that if this wasn't something we need to take very, very seriously. Do you?
No, I don't. But how many people worldwide have died from this?
No, to answer my question, why, if you trust President Trump, you voted for him, why would he be literally making everything the priority right now is stopping the spread of this virus if it wasn't something we should really be taking seriously?
Well, number one, I think that if he doesn't do what he's doing, he'll get so much pressure from the left that they will just jump on it.
So what? So it's never stopped him before. He's not. Whoa. He has never in his presidency ever done things to try to keep the left from going after him. That's not who he is. He does what he thinks is right. He doesn't do what he thinks is going to keep the left from coming after him. And by the way, when does the left start coming after him for saying that he's trying to postpone the election to stay in the presidency for another 4 years? That's not what Trump doesn't do that. Trump does what he thinks is right. So you're telling me now he's only doing all of this. This is all being done because he doesn't want to get criticized by the left and the media?
That they've been nothing but criticizing since it started. How it's been so slow in reacting to all this, and he's not doing enough.
If your point is accurate that this isn't a big deal, then so what? That'll eventually fade when it's proven to not be a big deal. I don't think the president is doing all this because he doesn't want to get criticized by the media. That's not Trump.
Well, I hope it turns out to not be a big deal soon. Sooner than later, because
But what's the best way to make sure? What's the best way to make sure it isn't a big deal?
Well, it's the best way closing everything down.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is closing everything down. But I think probably the best way to make sure it isn't a big deal is if we do a certain amount of staying away from each other, so we don't risk spreading this thing.
Yeah, for how long are you going to do this for?
I don't know. I think there's a big difference between you going into somebody's house and working on their house if you're healthy and they're healthy, then obviously these big events that they're worried about people going to and then spreading it. But you know, I mean, I think you just have to ask yourself. And Russell, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, bud. And I'm glad to hear that your business is doing well. That's very good. I just think you have to ask yourself of, you know, what the president is not a guy who's going to go up there and BS just to try to win the favor of the media. They're never going to be happy with him. It doesn't matter what he does. Trump's not going to do that. They're going to slam the guy either way. He could tomorrow shut everything down and the media would still slam him as being a dictator and a king. He's doing this because he doesn't want to see people die. He doesn't want to see a big outbreak here. He doesn't want us to become Italy with this situation. That's why he's doing this. So either you trust the guy or you don't. But the idea that he's faking this right now to win curry with the liberal media, that's not who he is. I'm sorry, but it's not. He's doing what he's doing now because he believes that this is what has to be done. So, you know, there's that. I mean, you could certainly argue that the media is, as usual, spending so much time on this. You could argue that maybe there are people overreacting in terms of a certain amount of panic, or you could argue that the only reason why Donald Trump has said everything stops, but we're dealing with this, is because it is something we have to take seriously. And that doesn't mean that there aren't other things going on that are nonsense things. Of course, you know, Bill de Blasio talking about taking over private industry. Some of these draconian shutdowns of restaurants and bars, like I said, they're going to kill these economies. They got to figure out another way here to deal with this. And then, of course, there's a lot of other things that happen. But I'm telling you right now, I don't want to be in a situation where in 2 weeks, if it spreads, I got to be standing in line at the grocery store with a baby on the way. I don't want to be that guy. It doesn't mean I'm panicking. I just want to look at the odds and think to myself, well, how can I avoid that situation? I don't think it means I'm panicking. I think it means that I'm trying to look at the potential, the worst case scenario, and prepare for it. I don't think people should stop living their lives. I think that there's a certain amount of common sense that has to be used. But I also don't believe the president would be up there telling us how important it is for all of us to take this seriously if he didn't really believe that. If Trump really thought this was nothing more than a media-generated hype thing, then the president, you wouldn't see Dr. Fauci up there. You wouldn't see all these people up there. They're not all in on it. You know what I mean? All in on pushing a fake narrative to try to make the liberal media happy. I think we're past that point now. I really do. I think we're past that point now. Now it's just a matter of making sure we do our part to make sure this thing doesn't spread and is over with as quickly as possible so we can go back to living our life, our normal life, you know? And if that's 2 weeks and we can stop the spread of this thing, great. We can all go back to living our life. Every time that there's a thought of that, of like, well, maybe it's this or maybe it's that. At the end of the day, Donald Trump is not the kind of president who's going to try to make you scared so that the media will write nice things about him. And guess what? They're not writing nice things about him. No matter what he does, they're still writing mean things about him. So I just, I reject that. But look, live your life. Be happy. Go to, take your kids to the park. I'm not saying you got to be a shut-in, and I'm not saying that you should sit, you know, in, with your shotgun pointed out the window at this point, but I don't think it's a bad thing to have a gun. I don't think it's a bad thing to go out and get ammunition just in case you need to protect your family in the future. Does that make me paranoid, or does that make me somebody who believes in the fact that you take steps to protect your family in the future? Like, I, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I think that everybody has their own reaction to these things, but I also think that there's something to this. As the cop said, and I'll read you again his Facebook post, Matthew Kuhnert is a Lower Providence police officer, a Marine, who wrote, "I thought maybe an update would be good. My coworker was discharged from the hospital today. The good news is this isn't a death sentence. While my little police department continues to be plagued by this virus, please just take a breath, listen to the professionals, and we will all get through this. I'm currently waiting for my results and hoping to be back to work soon. Thanks for sharing this far and wide. We're bigger than this virus, and we're smart, and be strong. I've been silent too long, and I'm tired of seeing posts about how this illness is getting blown out of proportion. Weeks ago, I was one of those guys who thought this was a big joke. I made fun of my friends who thought coronavirus was a serious issue. I was that guy. Now, as I sit home quarantined with one of my coworkers, a young man in great shape, in the ICU, I've completely changed my thought process on this. My tests are negative for now. I'm not sure why, but it was. My wife is immunosuppressed, as she is an organ donor recipient, so I'm concerned. We should all be concerned, but we shouldn't panic. Listen to the recommendations of the professionals. Please take them seriously. Instead of posting BS on social media, maybe you should say a little prayer for those who are suffering." I think Officer Kuhnert nails it. As a Marine, as a law enforcement officer, I think what he said here is absolutely right. Don't panic, but take it seriously. What's wrong with that? 855-839-1210. Melissa is in Wilmington. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. First time caller. I love your show.
Thank you.
And a couple things that I told the first person I talked to is my husband and I are both Trump voters, Trump supporters. And I seem to be taking it a little bit more seriously than he is. You know, I'm watching the news, I'm listening to the talk radio shows, and I'm trying to stay informed. And he's just taking this, "Oh, I really don't want to hear it," kind of blasé attitude. And then the other thing really quickly I wanted to say is my husband's daughter is expecting on June 6th, and she's still going to work. And I'm just a little concerned, you know, your household, how that's being handled, and really what we should give advice to her about.
Well, tell her this. As my friend posted on Twitter, she said, "At first, I thought coronavirus was a political hoax. After talking to two scientists and an internist in New York City, coronavirus is not a hoax. This virus is real, and it spreads 10 times faster than the flu. We have to contain it. Otherwise, we can end up like Italy." So I think the first thing you have to say is this is different from the flu. Everybody needs to realize that it's different from the flu. It's not the same thing. And that's number one. We know how to deal with the flu. We can deal with the flu. And eventually we'll be able to deal with this virus, too. Like, eventually in a couple of years, it'll be, "Oh, yeah, it's COVID-19 season. It's Wuhan coronavirus season. Make sure you get your vaccine." But we're not there yet. And that's the concern from people. So tell her that, you know.
I really don't want her going to work. I saw something on the news this morning about a newborn COVID baby in London. So I'm not sure if that's true. But also with my husband, like, how do I get him to make sure that we have what we need and, you know, to kind of get him to just be a little bit more aware of what's going on? Or do I just say, "Hey, you do you and I do me," kind of thing?
I don't know. This is why we're thinking the divorce rates might go up after this whole thing. Not you and your husband, per se. I don't know. I'm not good at giving marriage advice. Dawn, you want to take that one or what?
Just be nice, baby. Bear through it.
Yeah.
Yard work.
I'm trying. It's a long-term relationship. Oh, and hey, Rich, can I get some of that Charmin?
Email me, richiestrunktoiletpaper@gmail.com. All right, Melissa?
You guys are so awesome. Love you.
Love you too. Hang in there. Thank you, Melissa. And when you're single, let us know. We'll take care of that. We'll hook you up. Did you catch that, Craig? When you're single? No. Here's what I think everybody should do, seriously. Bernie Sanders at the debate last night had the best advice for America.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he really did. Oh. He had the best advice for America. He had this is very important here. He was asked what he does to protect himself from coronavirus, and I think if everybody just follows this, America will be fine. Cut 14.
We know that people over the age of 60 and those with underlying medical conditions, especially heart disease, lung disease, and diabetes, are the most vulnerable to coronavirus and are being asked to change their behavior to protect themselves. So, Senator Sanders, I'll start with you. You're 78 years old. You had a heart attack. What are you doing to protect yourself?
Well, a great deal. I mean, last night we had a fireside chat, not a rally. I love doing rallies, and we bring many thousands of people out to our rallies. I enjoy it very much. We're not doing that right now. In fact, our entire staff is working from home. So on a personal level, what we're doing is I'm not shaking hands. Joe and I did not shake hands. And I am very careful about the people I am interacting with. I'm using a lot of soap and hand sanitizers to make sure that I do not get the infection. And I have to say, you know, thank God right now I do not have any symptoms, and I feel very grateful for that.
I love that. I'm using a lot of soap. Like, this is a new concept for Bernie. Like, he's never used soap before. You notice that? I'm using a lot of, what do you call it now? Soap. I lather my body. I get all bubbly and lather. I lather up. It's like a new concept.
Well, he's an old hippie from Vermont.
That's
you know,
true.
Not a lot of soap happening. And
he uses that Toms. Toms, right?
Or the soap made out of the ashes.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
He probably doesn't wear deodorant that actually, you know, keeps you from stinking.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's the Vermont thing, right? So what is this soap I keep hearing so much about that kills germs?
Beautiful.
I love it. I have lavender, and I put it all over my body, and I rub it in. I scrub it in. I'm soapy. I love it. I'm so soapy. And I do it. I sing in the shower, too. I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair.
No, it's Trump.
I mean, wash it right out of his hair.
I'm using a lot of soap.
Soap. Oh, he also yelled at America last night and said, America, go to the YouTube. I love this moment in the debate last night. Because, you know, it's like, go check the internet or go to the Google. Was that guy last night. Bernie was that old crazy guy last night. Go to the YouTube.
Speaking of negative ads, my Lord, Bernie, you're running ads saying I'm opposed to Social Security that PolitiFact says is a flat lie and that the Washington Post said is a flat lie.
Oh, well, let me ask you a question, Joe.
Yeah.
You're right here with me.
Yeah.
Have you been on the floor of the Senate? You were in the Senate for a few years.
Do you think I smell good with my soap? That I'm using now? Do you notice a difference? Irish Spring.
That's delightful soap.
It's very delightful. Yeah.
Time and time again, talking about...
I use Leva 2000 for all my 2000 parts. Can you tell a difference, Joe?
With pride about cutting Social Security, cutting Medicare, cutting veterans programs.
No.
You never said that?
No.
All right. America, go to the website right now. Go to the YouTube right now.
America, go to the YouTube right now.
All right. America, go to the website right now. Go to the YouTube right now.
America, stop what you're doing and go to the YouTube right now. All of you. America, go to the YouTube right now. America, go to the YouTube right now. He literally said that.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
And he's the most popular with the under, what,
I know, that's
30
funny.
Vote?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
The millennials love this guy. Did you go to the YouTube like I asked?
All right. America, go to the website right now. Go to the YouTube right now.
I did that to learn how to apply soap. They have very helpful videos. I went on there. I typed in on the YouTube how to use soap. Very helpful. 855-839-1210. Corey is in Collegeville. Corey, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing well, bud. How are you doing?
Good, good. I think the thing that woke me up the most, I had two incidences happen this weekend. The first was I had to meet somebody over in King of Prussia. So it was in a shopping center, and there was they're like, just, you know, meet me in this place. And I kind of been to the place before, but I didn't really know what I was getting into. So I walked in. It's a bar, and there's a banquet room in the back where they were having some sort of event, and that's where what I had to do, just drop something off for that. But then I looked over at the bar, and it was like I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was like spring break for older people. And I'm thinking, this is the most vulnerable. We've been told that this is the most vulnerable demographic, and yet nobody is listening to the warnings because this place was packed. It was like spring break. So I was not in favor of the states or the government stepping in and saying, okay, let's close down these bars and let's, you know, just let everybody kind of chill out for a little bit. But now I'm totally in favor of it because I really believe that nobody is heeding the warning. And this is King of Prussia. So this is right next to where I live. I live in the district where the cop got sick from the doctor in King of Prussia. So we're in a very vulnerable area and nobody really seems to be heeding the warning. So if they have to step in and close these bars because of this, then so be it. Because you know what? Those people inside those bar, I'm sorry, that's just, you're just being selfish. You're going to walk out of that bar and you're going to possibly go to the grocery store, like you were saying. You're going to touch this, you're going to touch that, and you're going to get everybody else sick. And this is, I'm not talking about at night. I'm talking about at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So nobody is really heeding the warning, I don't think. And I think this is just something that's going to get out of control. And we don't know where it's going to go. And I'm at the point now where, you know, it's just ridiculous. And if I can say one more thing, the other thing that really hit home for me was, like I said, I live in the district where the policeman was sick. I'm so glad that he got better. But I just got a phone call last night from a friend. Hey, do you know so-and-so? And I'm like, yeah, I know so-and-so. He's 40-something years old. I just saw him 3 weeks ago. Yeah, he's in the hospital with Corona's disease on a ventilator. That hit home for me. Now it's somebody I know that my kids have been around, that, you know, this guy's a super nice guy, and I just couldn't believe I was hearing that. Then all of a sudden it becomes personal.
Yeah, man, I get it. I do. I don't like the idea of the government forcing closures of anything. I don't. I feel like there's got to be another way, but I completely understand your point because there are a lot of people that there was a big thing in Atlantic City over the weekend for St. Patrick's Day. I get it. You know, the problem, though, is, again, it's always the unintended consequence. They say they're going to shut down state stores tomorrow in Pennsylvania. Today and tomorrow, those stores are going to be packed to the brim with everybody breathing on each other and on top of each other because they're afraid the stores are going to shut down, you know?
Exactly.
We have to do the right thing, but I also don't want us to put ourselves in an even worse position because we're trying to avoid getting sick. And I just think we got to think about that, too. That's all, you know?
I totally agree. I just think there's a certain line that everybody just needs to be responsible. And if everybody just kind of was so selfish and just ignorant, then everything would be fine.
I hear you, brother. Thank you for the call, Corey. I appreciate it.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Michelle emailed me. She said, I think the real fear is the way the Pennsylvania and New Jersey governments are handling this, not how Trump is handling it. It's the way our governors are doing things. I fear martial law. This is what they want. This is what is scaring the hell out of me. Fair point. I talked about quarantines earlier in the show. I'll do more on that throughout the week. It's a fair point because a lot of times, unfortunately, governments use these as opportunities to overreact and restrict freedom, as we know.
Well, and the question is, so Friday, I got to get my hair done, got to go to the salon because things are going to start shutting down. So at the salon, they were saying, well, this is an essential service. You know, you got to, you know.
It's not, though, right?
Well, but I mean, a lot of people were saying that. Well, wait a minute, you guys can't shut down because this is women going to get waxed, women to get their hair done, right? It's all the women. And while I was there, to the point of your last caller, there were all these millennials. They were going out, and a lot of them are looking at flights to go somewhere they've never been before. So millennials have a different attitude. You know, to say, woohoo, you know, we're off work. We don't have to work. Let's go somewhere. Let's party.
Yeah, they're treating it like a snowstorm, like a snow day.
So a lot of people just don't understand.
You know what else is an essential service right now as all these husbands and wives are going to be together in the house for the next few months?
What?
Gentlemen's clubs. And I think that they should not be shut down, even though they're probably the dirtiest, most disgusting place to be in a moment like this. But for the sanity of men and relationships, just saying.
Well, you got to just go online. Websites.
That's definitely happening, by the way.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. Kate is in Lower Gwynedd. Kate, good morning. How are you holding up?
Good morning. Well, waking up to the news that the CDC is recommending, no large gatherings for the next 8 weeks. I'm usually a tough person. I'm a teacher. I teach, 600 kids, and I cried. I just mailed my wedding invitations on Friday.
Oh, man. Man, when's your wedding, Kate?
It's at the end of April.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know. Nobody in my family's awake yet. My fiance is in another town. He's not awake yet because he works a late shift. So I guess we're going to have to talk this through.
How many people are going to be at your wedding?
Probably around 100 if everybody says they're going to come. But I've been spending the last 2 weeks, you know, with nothing but conversations, you know, about this. I wasn't even sure if people would say yes, but we mailed them anyway. I have cancellation insurance, but I really don't want to have to pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, it's a tough call. All right, keep me posted on what you decide to do. You can't have a social distancing wedding, I guess, right, where everybody's 6 feet away from each other. That would require, like, the biggest banquet hall ever, I guess, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it just say the first 50 people to reply get to come. You know, they said nothing over 50.
I would definitely be the guy that holds out to the last minute to mail my invitation back.
But they might shut down domestic travel. They're talking about
that. I know.
That.
The president's been talking about that, too. But, Kate, you understand that's what guys do, right? A lot of people don't go to weddings. They just wait to the last minute. So if you said the first 50, I'd be like, honey, put that envelope in the back burner. We'll mail that. Mail that like a week before the wedding. I'm just kidding.
I can't, you know, but seriously, it's like, well, okay, if my school goes back into operation, why can't I have a wedding? You know, like I think that's the part that's going to kind of bother me. If they're going to say, no, you can't have a wedding reception, but you still have to go in and teach 600 kids. And I don't know about you, but I think kids are a lot less, concerned about hygiene than, the average adult. So I think that's going to burn me up if I'm stuck teaching school and can't have a wedding.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't blame you. That would burn me up, too. Where were you supposed to have the wedding, by the way?
In Philadelphia.
In Philly? All right. Well, yeah. Listen, hang in there. Let me know what you decide to do. Call back when you talk to your fiance later in the week and let us know.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Hang in there. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. How do we deal with this, by the way? You know, I'm not a fan of quarantines. I'm not a fan of any of that nonsense. I'm going to bring out a great guest at 8:30 talking about how South Korea preserved the open society and now infection rates are falling. The answer is not quarantines and martial law and things like that, because I think at the end of the day, people will do the right thing. Not everybody, but for the most part, we will. But we'll find out how South Korea handled it, because I think it's a lot to learn from that, without a doubt. 855-839-1210. But let's say good morning to Dawn. Check in.
Yes, good morning. We have Zioli Show News, and right now we have 39 degrees. It's going to be a warm, sunny day.
Oh, so, by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt. Let me just mention, I'll be back on the air today at 5 p.m. I'm going to go local today, 5 p.m.
For an hour.
For an hour.
Live
show to give updates, take calls, and that sort of thing. Every day this week, 5 p.m.
Good.
Okay.
So we begin and end the day, the work day, with Zioli.
There you go.
So it's very nice.
Maybe I'll come on during lunch, too.
We all need routine.
Routine is good. Maybe we'll just stay on the air all friggin' day.
No. Yeah, right. Take the calls. Zioli Show News, sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. So quickly updating the government-mandated shutdowns across our region. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf and New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy ordering schools closed. So in Pennsylvania, one of the nation's largest malls has closed amid the order by Governor Wolf to help stem the spread, obviously, of COVID-19. Pandemic. So this is King of Prussia Mall, because over the weekend they were still open and saying they would remain open and leave it up to individual retailers inside the mall. But now they are shut down like all the other malls across the suburbs until further notice, for at least 2 weeks, they're saying. So there are more than five dozen cases of COVID-19 in Pennsylvania, with more than a third of those confirmed cases in Montgomery County, largely traced back to contact with the new coronavirus, as it's called, COVID-19, after contact with that KOP doctor who had traveled overseas and then came back, was still feeling well, not even realizing that he was sick, and treated a bunch of patients for at least a week that we know of. So other patients in Monco had contact with an infected person in another state. So most people, we're told, are at home in isolation, with, yes, a few hospitalized. For most people, the new coronavirus, COVID-19, causes only mild or moderate symptoms. The number one symptom system, with 87% of patients say they have a high fever, but many don't have a high fever. Many, 67%, say they have this dry cough. So for some, especially older adults or people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness like pneumonia or obviously the life-threatening sickness. So the vast majority of people, though, 80%, recover just fine without any need for hospital treatment. So we have all restaurants ordered shut down, closed across the burbs, and that means Bucks, Chester, Delaware, Montgomery, Allegheny counties, but not Philadelphia County. So many restaurants in Philadelphia are just self-closing or offering takeout or food delivery. Governor Wolf's office released a statement saying, quote, "We're working closely with the Kenney administration on the city's mitigation efforts." So we wait to hear about whether or not Philadelphia will become part of the governor's mandated shutdown. This amid the CDC recommendation that we've talked about, with no events of more than 50 people for the next 8 weeks. So we've seen everybody stocking up, everything from, we've heard the toilet paper stories, disinfectant products, and now word that, yes, fine wine and good spirits stores are closing. This is Bucks, Chester,
all right, now that's
Delaware,
that's crazy.
Montgomery counties.
If you had a choice,
yes,
I put this poll on Twitter. If you were going to run out of one thing in a quarantine, between the two, would you rather run out of toilet paper or wine?
Well, for us, it's wine, because remember, we gave up wine.
Oh, just
with
give me
our
a hypothetical,
diet.
Will right, you?
I'm
come
sorry.
On.
I know I'm boring. In my house, there's no way I want to run out of toilet paper. I'm sorry.
In case you, you pick toilet paper over
yeah,
booze.
I would.
Greg?
I would.
Wine. Wine. I mean, like, you can find things to
I
use. Agree.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could use, like, the
not
Inquirer, for
socks.
Example, other things.
Socks.
Yeah, socks. I can't. Wine. I can't make
no.
wine.
No.
But unless I stockpile grapes or something.
But they are going to deliver. And here's the thing.
Okay, wait. The liquor stores?
They said the wine and spirits, in their statement, they said they still are doing delivery.
Oh, cool.
Oh, good.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's a game changer then.
But again,
I need more. Bring me more. More
right
stuff.
Right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how fast the delivery. I don't know if it's like within the next hour. You know what I mean? But the interesting thing, the Philadelphia food, fine wine and good spirit stores, Philadelphia is still open. So people are just going to drive from the burbs into the city, I guess.
It's so political that they're shutting all this down at every other county in the area except for Philadelphia County. It's almost like Governor Tom Wolf is afraid of upsetting Jim Kenney.
It would seem.
The mayor. It just it doesn't make any sense.
So he says they're working.
Because now all these
them.
People who he's trying to have not go to stores are all going to come to Philadelphia stores.
Yeah. Yes.
So Philadelphia stores are going to be packed to the brim now.
Yes.
And restaurants. Because I'm telling you, people are still going to want to go out to eat. So this is going to be a mess.
Yeah. Now the grocery stores, you know, Acme, Giant, all the grocery stores sell, Target, they sell wine and they sell beer, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. You know, we've talked about.
I actually, what I did was when I in my cart, I actually gave up toilet paper to make room for wine.
We don't need this.
I said this toilet paper is taking up way too much space in my cart.
So big.
I can't fill it with booze. Take this.
Well, I didn't know till this weekend that Target, with your Target card, you get 5% off even on the wine.
Well, there you go.
So anyway, woohoo, discoveries, right? Delaware County officials are, and we've talked about first responders, and our hearts go out and our thanks go out to all the first responders who have to work and are on the front lines of this thing. In Delaware County, the officials say that 34 employees and inmates at George W. Hill Correctional Facility, they're being self-quarantined after an employee tested positive for COVID-19. So 23 employees who've been in contact with the COVID-19 positive person, they're told to self-quarantine. Everybody's being tested. So that's the situation. And because somebody mentioned it, Zioli did send me the concern text this weekend of the newborn baby in England reportedly testing positive for COVID-19. So the baby is believed to be one of the world's youngest patients with the disease. So I don't have a condition update. They're okay, but the mom and baby were separated. So they were taken to separate hospitals. So the mom can't even breastfeed.
Okay. She can't, that's terrible.
I know.
Yeah.
So the forecast from NBC 10 First Alert Weather today, partly sunny, 51 degrees. Tomorrow, 60 with a 30% chance of rain. And then Wednesday, sunny and warm. We have to look at some of the going viral tweets, parents tweeting out that one kid, I don't know if this was Patrick Zioli, who said, hey, daddy, the news said it's more sanitary to sneeze into an elbow. And then the dad said, no, that means your own elbow. Because the kid was trying to sneeze at everybody else's elbow.
These kids are disgusting.
Pretty cute.
They really
are. Oh, we have
a
guest coming up, so I have to hurry up. And hurry into Cherry Hill Volvo for incredible savings on one of their few remaining 2019 XC60s or the new Zioli Mobile, perhaps, XC90s. How incredible. How about $10,180 off the suggested retail price. Visit soon. Cherry Hill Volvo, yes, where relationships really do matter. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News.
Thank you, Dawn. The question, of course, is, do quarantines work? Is that the answer? We're going to bring on a great guest about that, how they did it in South Korea. Might surprise you, by the way, so stay tuned to that. And I will be back today live, 5 p.m. every day this week as we deal with this coronavirus pandemic together. You'll have a place to sound off today from 5 to 6 p.m. with all the updates as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.